God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created our world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. And welcome again to The Disciple's View. Just one disciple. We on this program try to take every step we can to see news through the eyes of God. Often I ask myself, what is the top story to God? It's a dangerous thing to try to think like the Lord. It betrays an arrogance. We can't think like him. We can consult his word and look at the patterns and how he treats people, treats us, and the things he's built for us. So I don't think that the Hunter Biden story is the top story in God's eyes. That's just my suspicion. I think his top story is and will remain until the church age ends, that there is still redemption available through his son, Jesus Christ. I think that is God's top story. It's its top concern. That's why he sent his son to come and bring us back into the family. It's a heck of a thing to do. It's a sacrifice that we, if we don't really drop to our knees and recognize, it's easy to gloss over it. So we'll talk about Hunter Biden, but we'll talk about this in a way that, well, I think challenges me. And that is to look at Hunter Biden as a sad and lost child of God, and to look at ourselves as people responsible for bringing people like Hunter Biden back into the family of God. To me, that changes the equation. It goes from a conservative talk radio monologue to a convicting statement. I'm convicted myself. I watched the Hunter Biden drama as he walked into the hearing room as a stunt, and that's what it was. But there's also something in this in which we praise God, at least I do. The reason that the party wants to shut down social media and continue to censor it, and just yesterday the Supreme Court said that Netflix doesn't get to tell the world how many times the FBI went to them and demanded that they censor things. That's not speech they get to have. Supreme Court has decided that. I don't see anywhere in the First Amendment where mentioning the number of interactions with the FBI would be anything other than free speech. But there is something to praise God in this, and that is that God is pro-free speech and pro-responsibility, pro-accountability. The crowdsourcing of knowledge is one of the reasons why the party, and when I talk about the party, I mean tech and academia, big finance, and the traditional things we think of as the deep state, as well as the Mockingbird media. Now, that can sound like the entire world sometimes, but most of us don't work in any of those professions. Most of us have never worked in any of those professions. I'm one of those weirdos who's worked in, well, everything but academia, really. Well, I've never worked in government. Take that back. So the crowdsourcing of information around Hunter Biden is something for which we can praise God, and I'll tell you why. There was apparently a Netflix film crew following Hunter in to the hearing room. How would I say this? Why would I say this? Because sleuths, as they say, internet sleuths, noticed a DJI Ronin 4D camera. That is a Netflix spec camera, meaning if you're shooting a Netflix documentary, they have standards in terms of video quality. This is one of the cameras on which you can shoot a documentary and have it accepted by Netflix. Hunter Biden was followed into the hearing room by people carrying that. And they were in the perfect position to film what in the industry is called the hero shot. Hunter confronting his accusers. And all his accusers want, of course, is to mock his drug addiction. Now, see, I'm already forgetting he's a lost child of God. If we were to view Hunter through God's eyes, I think we'd see sadness. Oh, anger. Yeah. Righteously so. Hunter Biden, in all likelihood, traffics in and exploits the bodies of girls. That's rape. Let me just call it what it is. He's also, well, a walking, breathing national security nightmare. That's all true as well. And he's a lost child of God. It's complex. We could make it simple, but then we'd be lying. It's complex. We have a job to do. One is to follow God, and we're to free the spiritual captives. Second, way down the list, is as citizens. We can't have this guy walking around selling our secrets and getting away with it. Something has to be done. What will it be? There was a reporter on the scene who had a question unique, perhaps, in the American experience for the son of a sitting, well, you know, president.
Hunter, what's your favorite type of crack? Are you on crack today?
Now, see, the reporter saying, what's your favorite type of crack? Are you on crack today? That's a reasonable question. They are. Maybe not the what's your favorite type of crack, but it's relevant to say, are you high today? And the Netflix documentary makers, if in case that's, in fact, that's what they were, they just got exactly what they wanted. Exactly. Because they can now go back and show Hunter in treatment, doing everything he can to come off these drugs. Will they reveal the fact that the Secret Service had recently admitted over a weekend news cycle that of course we could have identified the people who dropped the cocaine in the White House? Probably not. And again, children of God, created by God, not yet adopted back into the family, a lost son, a prodigal. It is very, very difficult for me, and maybe you, to shift gears. I was raised to do conservative radio monologues by the best in the business. And I could just rip Hunter Biden right now and the Republicans for the weakness. He should have been slapped into handcuffs at the moment he arrived, because he stands in clear contempt of Congress. And my job is greater than that, because I've been given a task by God Almighty to free people like Hunter. There was a moment where Hunter, he stormed out. We'll get to more of this. This is just that moment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me, Hunter. Apparently you're afraid of my words.
Whoa.
Oh. I like to reclaim my time, Mr. Chairman.
Kind of burst their bubble. Wow, that's too bad.
That was Marjorie Taylor Greene engaging in the sarcasm. Of course, she had every right to question Hunter Biden. He'd walked into the hearing and probably had with him a Netflix film crew. He didn't want to answer questions. It was a stunt. And incidentally, if we're going to talk about stunts, it also interrupted an official government proceeding. I was told that's an insurrection. There it is again. Instinct to do conservative talk radio. Marjorie Taylor Greene was doing her job. She was also, of course, aware that there were cameras there. That's part of the task of a politician, to get FaceTime with cameras. I believe, and I agree with the statements, given what Hunter Biden's been doing, thumbing his nose at the law, with the help of his father, with the help of a sitting U.S. Congressman, Eric Swalwell, who in all likelihood was either having sexual relations with or trying to have sexual relations with a spy for the Chinese Communist Party. Well, it's an often, and it's cliched, but it's often the case that you take something like this and say, if you went to Hollywood and wrote this script as a drama, you know, a sitting U.S. congressman having sex with a Chinese communist spy and the son of a sitting U.S. so-called president in this exact scenario, and you presented it as a drama, you'd probably get from Hollywood, you know what? No. This has got to be a farce, a comedy. This is not believable. And yet this is what we're living through. And what's God's view? Is he laughing? I doubt it. Jesus wept. I agree with this statement on what should happen to Hunter Biden.
I believe that Hunter Biden should be held completely in contempt. I think he should be hauled off to jail right now, because it wasn't long ago, two of my friends on the other side of the aisle That you also believed in the power of a congressional subpoena. Not long ago at all, you believed in holding those who refused to comply with a congressional subpoena accountable.
Yes, in fact, it was figurehead Biden who said that the families, anyone who faces a congressional subpoena, should absolutely have to respond, and the DOJ should go after him if they don't. We either have laws or we do not. Right now, we don't. No, we don't. If laws are not equally applied, they're not laws. They're suggestions. They're ideas, but they're not laws. Laws are concrete. God's law is the most concrete, because God's law and the consequences for refusing to follow it are eternal. I agree with this in this exchange as well. I think this is the operative question for America in terms of our national security.
First of all, my first question is, who bribed Hunter Biden to be here today? That's my first question. Second question, you are the epitome of white privilege, coming into the Oversight Committee, spitting in our face, ignoring a congressional subpoena to be deposed. What are you afraid of? You have no balls to come up here and—
Mr. Chairman, point of inquiry.
Mr. Chairman—
If the gentlelady wants to hear from Hunter Biden, we can hear from him right now, Mr. Chairman. Let's take a vote and hear from Hunter Biden. What are you afraid of?
Hold on. Order.
Are women allowed to speak in here or no? Because you keep interrupting me.
I'll interrupt the chairman. I don't know that he's a lady.
I think that that Hunter Biden should be arrested right here, right now, and go straight to jail. Our nation is founded on the rule of law.
Come on.
And the premise that the law applies equally to everyone, no matter what your last
point of order,
is.
Mr. Chairman.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Biggs over
Donald
here.
Donald Trump Jr.
Biggs over here.
State your point, Mr. Biggs.
Yeah, my point of order is this. Are we going to continue on with this blatant interruption? This is absurd and inappropriate. I intend to give my statement.
The games Congress plays, they sicken me. Point of order, you don't mean point of order. You mean we're getting beat. Change the rules. Stop the discussion. That's what you mean. The concern I have on a national security basis is this. While Joe Biden is figurehead, we have to ask of every policy decision, who bought it? Who purchased the open borders? That will come back eventually to collapse much of our country. It's already happening. And I've been called cynical for saying it's by design. I would challenge anybody to come to me and tell me, show me any signals that it's not by design. It's as simple as this. Have we forgotten how to secure a border? Well, we pay money to secure Ukraine's. We're trying. $200 billion eventually. The Southern Hemisphere. We enforce those borders with our money, but we've forgotten how to do it here. Every significant policy decision undertaken by the figurehead Biden requires us to say who purchased it. Every step that Hunter Biden and his sister Ashley take, we're required to pray over. Because they're lost. If I were to meet Hunter Biden in person, I don't know that he'd be any different from the addicts with whom I work here in Idaho. They have very similar patterns. But the addicts with whom I work in Idaho, when they mess up, they pay a bill, a consequence in the world. Hunter Biden has yet to do that. You know what? That makes it less likely that he'll be redeemed. So we can pray that he faces worldly justice, because that might be how he actually comes to God. We'll come back with the discussion of how powerful people intend to disrupt our food supply. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll be right back. God tells us we will know them by their fruits. Says that in the Bible. He's speaking specifically of false prophets. So I don't want to misappropriate the word of God, but I do want to say that all Bible, everything in the Bible is good for instruction and teaching and correction. It's also good for general direction, I think. I think there's a lot of ways to know people by their fruits. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I'm fond of pointing out and saying that information is not power. That's a huge con that people get into, that information is power. It's simply not. I'll give you an example. You can sit and read every single book on how to do a thing. And what you have is information. You have knowledge. You do not have power. You have potential power. It is when you take that knowledge and you put it to use to build a thing or to do a thing or to help a person or to help yourself. Now you are actually powerful. We are never more powerful than when we stand with God. When we're making sense of the political world, it's very, very useful to just simply examine people in comparison to God. To simply say, okay, we know what the fruits of the Spirit are. Peace, love, joy, temperance, self-control, actual tolerance, the actually good type of tolerance that's otherwise says long-suffering. And we know what the desires of the flesh are. Self-seeking, seeking advantage over others, coveting. We also can take, though, an uber picture of God. So we can take from him what we know about in observe our world and the words of the Bible, obviously. So in observing our world, do we have a God who wants to force us to love him? To force us to obey? If that was the case, there never would have been a fall. Because if Adam and Eve had tried to approach the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there would have been a fence. God would have stopped them. Maybe he would have slightly punished them. Or they just wouldn't have been able to get there. They could walk towards it, but the tree never got closer. There's a million things. Well, it's not even that. It's a jillion things that the Lord could have done if he was a God who wanted to force people to love him or to follow his rules. He could have simply created us with an absolute love for him in his heart, in our hearts. He didn't. We have a need for him that's embedded in us. Apostle Paul makes that clear, that we also have within us the law and what's right and wrong from God, but we do not have an all-enduring love for God. That's something that we cultivate by getting to know him and letting him love us and do for us. I made this resolution this year to be willingly cared for. It's a promise to myself. It's difficult for me to be vulnerable and willingly cared for. That was hard for me. God has made a decision to be willingly uncared for. Now just think of this. That the God of the universe that created everything and provides every breath we take, every molecule we consume, everything we are, from our hands to our eyes to the mouth which I'm speaking, and the God of the universe volunteered to be willfully ignored, and in fact, willfully hated. He designed a world in which there are people who can and do hate him, and they get away with it here. Here. He's also a God of accountability. That sooner, well, for some, soon, for all of us, eventually, we'll have judgment. Those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus, have been baptized, have agreed to walk with him, allow him to change us, well, then we've been given the free gift of redemption. There are other people who will go to their grave shaking their fist at God, taking their right to do that to its logical conclusion. Right into, well, an eternal separation from God. The reason I bring this up in a political sense is it's very common for people to ask me, do you really think that these people don't understand what they're doing? You really think these people are doing this all this evil by design? You don't think that they're just stupid and misled? Well, that's a very simple way to view it. It's either they understand and they're doing it, you know, with evil in their hearts, or they're stupid. That's not what I think. What I think is that Satan is a master at using good for evil. He's a master at taking something like beauty, physical beauty, and distorting it. So we live in a world now where there's always on pornography. There's the physical beauty of a woman's body, and Satan distorts it into something like a snack, as something that you desire, not for any real connection, not certainly to glorify God, but simply for a thrill in the heart and in the flesh. That's an example. The example of being industrious, being smart, and creating value in a company. Satan is a master at taking characteristics like smartness and drive, ambition, and turning it into ego, self-gratification, and power over others, seeking to lord power over others. So again, in a political sense, if we're wondering, who are these people? Are they lording their power over you? If so, they're acting in an ungodly way. Are they attempting to force you to do things? Well, if so, they're acting in an ungodly way, unless it's something like following the laws, in which case they've been given the job to do that. But the laws in our country have to be constitutional. So here's an example. It's a quick one. This is the CEO of a wildly huge organization I consider to be doing great evil. It's called BlackRock. You've probably heard of it. It's a financial services company. And he is famous, Larry Fink, for saying things like this, and he should be, well, I should say infamous, talking about how ESG, they pretended to step off from this. It means environment, social justice, and governance. It's an insane method of valuing companies, not on how they do financially, but on how they do playing the game in terms of politics. Are you sufficiently to the left? Are you sufficiently transing enough kids? Are you sufficiently hate-filled for white people? Listen to Larry Fink, who is sitting next to a guy who appears to be the CEO of Amex, American Express, Stephen Squeri.
Behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. What we are doing internally is, if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay? You have to force behaviors. And if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team.
Okay, you hear that? If you're not sufficiently supporting the transing of kids and teaching that white people are bad, because that's how the social justice is taught in an ESG model, white people are uniquely bad. They've got the original sin of having been white because they were created by God with those, that melanin level. He's forcing people to sin, to lie, to say a girl is not a girl, she's a boy if she says so, to hate. The idea of white privilege is original sin. So if you are curious about, do these people know? Are they stupid? Do they know what they're doing? Is it by design evil? I don't know that it matters. And this is the best answer for me. They're lost. They're spiritual captives. Because they serve the desires that Satan has. I know that's uncomfortable. I don't know that 3 years ago there were any other people in conservative media using the phrase satanic this way. I think that's what it is. There are also signs that they intend to amp this up. And again, if we're talking in a political sense, are these people godly? Okay, let's look at the fruits of their behaviors. In Genesis, God gave us not just the right, but the job of stewarding and gaining dominion over the planet. He gave that to us. You will have dominion over the fish of the sea, the livestock. You are to be fruitful and multiply and use this dominion in wise stewardship. God gave us that. God designed us to eat foods. He gave us the ability to eat animals. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were specific things you were not to eat. The apostles later taught that it's not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out of the mouth. It's sin that came straight out of the Lord Jesus' teachings. But there's signs that the powers that be, such as the World Health Organization, they do not appreciate God's design for what we should eat. This is, I can never say his full name, Tedros, the boss man of the World Health Organization, an organization backed, funded, almost completely by Bill Gates and the Chinese Communist Party.
Food systems are harming the health of people and planet. Food systems contribute to over 30% of greenhouse gas emissions and account for almost one-third of the global burden of disease. Transforming food systems is therefore essential by shifting towards healthier diversified and more plant-based diets. If food systems delivered healthy diets for all, we could save 8 million lives per year.
Now, mind you, he just said 8 million. This is the same organization that backs trimming the population of the world by about 7.5 billion people. And he's talking about saving 8 million people because folks eat more plants?
WHO is committed to supporting countries to develop and implement policies to improve diets and fight climate change. I'm therefore very pleased that over 130 countries have signed the COP28 UAE Declaration on Climate and Health. Together, we can protect and promote the health of both people and planet.
So food he's systems. Talking about policies that he wants to be installed. Policies on what you will eat. This is coming at the same time as these same people are destroying family farms. In America, they're going after the Amish. They are destroying Amish farms. And it's a test case. Can we get away with it with the Amish? You know what they did to the Dutch farmers, tried to do in Netherlands. Now, God rescued them from that and gave them a new prime minister and a new government over there, largely because the farmers stood up. He's not joking when he says policies on what we should eat. This is, after all, the World Health Organization who lied about being the COVID rising to pandemic levels. They changed the rules on what a pandemic was. It doesn't have to contain any deaths. So if we're confused, I don't know that Tedros knows he's evil. He's not stupid. I think that's evident given his degrees and his way of speaking, manner of speech and thought. He's a hypocrite. COP28 had a lot of meat and a lot of jet planes and private planes that flew there and live lobsters, etc. That's just part of the game in politics, that there is always hypocrisy. But knowing that he intends to take God's design for us, what God told us to do, and to make it impossible for us to do, that means he stands against God. Now, you can say, okay, well, Todd, look, you're on a very Christian network, AFR, thank God. You're a very conservative guy, and maybe you're a bit of a flamethrower, bomb thrower. Can you point to anyone who is, let's say, less of a bomb thrower than you, who's also concerned? Sure. How about Victor David Hansen? He's
concerned. When you start to see people like Bill Gates gobble up farmland, and you read what his foundation says about farming, when they say that we're going to have a particular type of agriculture, they want large blocks run by the government or by private consortia where they say, we're not going to have animal-based proteins, we're not going to have stockyards, we're not going to have turkey farms, we're not going to have chicken. The academic mind always has the answers, but never in the real world. And they do a lot of damage.
Everywhere you look, small and medium-sized farms being gobbled up by these corporate mega farms because they can't keep up anymore. They can't comply with these endless streams of regulations that are coming down.
And in fact, as he talks about endless streams of regulations, first voice, Victor David Hansen, second an academic who's warning the world about this attack on the food supply, food chain. It's often thought, and this is something my party taught me, the Republican Party lied to me about this, that big business needs, they desire to have the regulations cut. Too much red tape. Big pharma wants the regulations cut so they can bring us cheaper drugs. Big food wants the regulations cut so they can bring us cheaper foods. No. Regulation is complication. Complication, needless complication, is the tool of scoundrels. The big food companies like Gates and Beyond Meat and etc., what they seek is, first of all, a fence around their patented foods. That's it. They've got the patent. This is how we make this fake protein. Secondly, they want barriers to entry. Well, there's nothing more difficult to enter than a market that is wildly regulated, because you have to have a huge amount of money to be able to play within the regulations. So they use that to stop smaller firms from coming in. Now, after they got theirs started, then they want government force. And again, we go back to the topic. Are they godly? Find me a time where God said, through the Lord Jesus, constrict the food supply. Have fewer choices. Force people to come to you and only you for food. create monopolies. Use the power of government to strip from families the ability to have even self-sustaining ranches where they simply sustain their own families. Find me a point in the Bible where that was ever suggested by the Lord Jesus. You can't. We started this conversation talking about applying the phrase, you will know them by their fruits, to politics. And again, the phrase was about false prophets. And all scripture is good for teaching, correcting, and instructing. We can take a general imprint of how God acts. He doesn't force us to love him. He doesn't limit our food supplies. He doesn't force us, like Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, to do what he wants us to do. God Almighty doesn't force us, but Larry Fink wants to force us. And the World Health Organization wants to force us. It's not hard then to say, are they idiots? Don't know. Doesn't matter. They're ungodly. And they're acting in ungodly ways. So what do? Well, we can't stand with them. For what partnership can we have with them? None. We don't fit together. We should go our separate ways. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Is there a biblical case that you could make for banning books by and about bad people? Could that be done? The reason I ask is there is a zeal, and it is a zeal for censorship. You know this. All too often, it's just the political sorts. The so-called judge in the case of the civil trial of Donald Trump in New York, which is unbelievably corrupt from end to end. There are no victims, for instance. He supposedly defrauded Goldman Sachs, but Goldman Sachs liked the deal. It's a circus of ego. And the so-called judge there, Arthur Engrod, who's made no bones about the fact that he already considers Trump guilty, has banned President Trump from speaking or giving closing remarks in his New York civil trial. It's an act of censorship. And in my judgment, it's obviously political. What else could it be? The defendant may not speak on his own behalf. That's not done in America. It's, well, done now to one guy. But once it's done to one guy, it can be done to other guys. Once it's done to one man, it's going to be done to others. So to the question of a biblical case for banning the speech of bad people, I'm not saying that I consider Donald Trump to be a bad person. I unlike a lot of people, I don't consider him to be particularly Christian. I've heard him say he believes, and I've seen him surrounded by pastors. I just don't observe the fruit of the Spirit. I'd vote for him in a second. I'd also vote for Ron DeSantis in a second. But if you take someone, let's say, like a world leader, who had been a very famous world leader, like Augusto Pinochet. And if you're below the age of maybe 50, you might not know about Augusto Pinochet. There was a book, a volume called A Journey Through a Life, Memoirs of a Soldier, better known by its Spanish title, Camino Recordio. That book is unfindable. There is a Substack site that is tracking actual banned books. Because in this zeal to ban speech, the writer's very curious about what is actually banned. I'll give an example that's something that is banned. It's a PDF, just a document, called the White Resistance Manual. In the UK, it will get you 10 years in prison if you have a copy of it. And I haven't read it. Because a white resistance model, I don't need white resistance. I've got the Lord. The Lord's not a racist. The Lord counts us all the same, loves us all the same. It's not something I need to read, but should people go to 10 years in prison for this? That's a form of banning, but actually disappearing a book written by a world leader. It can't be found. Copies are gone. You can go to Google, this is from the Substack, and look up and find works by other communists, Pinochet and Me, a Chilean memoir, Something Fierce, Memoirs of a Revolutionary Daughter, I Surrender, Memoirs of Chile's Dictatorship, 1975. So is there a biblical case for banning books by people that you would consider bad? Here's my assessment is, no. No, if we were to model our lives after how Jesus lived, I find this an amusing picture, but it never happened, of the Lord Jesus being challenged by the Pharisees and becoming annoyed and saying, look, you doubt I'm the Son of God? Watch this. I'll make you mute right now. You will never speak again for what you said to me. He could have done something funny and turned him into like a 15-foot tall salamander playing a banjo. That might have just freaked some people out. He never did that. The fact that we have words and the fact that we can communicate ideas, good or bad, that came from God. We are not given license to ban the memoirs of bad people. They should be read and understood and studied for who they were, what they thought they were. The Bible has a lot of bad people in it. It wasn't banned from God's own book. It's phenomenal to me the way the modern, I want to say left, but it's becoming far less about that. The way the party, that is the deep state, pharma, big tech, academia, work together on this unithought. And that unithought is we are so weak that they must protect us, even from old books about dictators who are nearly soon to be 100 years back. On this program, we thank the Lord for taking supposedly wise people and placing them up on tall towers where they can look down upon us and say, look up upon my wisdom. They don't know that they're standing on tall towers of shaking sand. We thank the Lord with a piece that we call the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And... present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babylon.
On CNN, it sounds a lot like Abby Phillips was trying to get her guest to say that Claudine Gay was fired because of racism, but she kind of doesn't get what she seems to be wanting to have.
So you don't think there was anything about this that had to do with the fact that she was a black woman from the people who were claiming this as a victory against DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion?
I don't think it did. And you know what? Even if it did, that doesn't justify it. If you or I did this, or even any white scholar, it would be career ending to have 50 examples of plagiarism. And it has to be, because how can you be the one upholding Harvard's integrity when you yourself have failed? It's as if the commissioner of the Major League Baseball or the NBA had a lifelong history of steroid use and was now the person in charge of kicking other people out for steroid use. It's completely untenable. And well, my question about the internal Harvard review that you seem to think was a very rigorous process is, how did they only find, what, 4 or 5 examples of it when there were 50, almost 50 to find? And plagiarism, it's not like true crime where there's a million perspectives on it. You kind of lifted the paragraph or you didn't.
When you're a host and you're in, well, to use the parlance of the young, schooled in that way, do you ever self-reflect? I mean, do you ever turn to self and say, how did I get that so wrong? I'd always wanted that to happen during, you know, the response to COVID, when people were saying, oh yeah, well, we took away your lives and locked your schools down and took your kids from their, you know, destroyed their mental health, and we took your jobs and forced some of you to get injected, and we killed a lot of people, but dang it, we did the best we could, so forgive us. I always want to say, how is it that I, a rodeo clown, knew these things were bad and you didn't? Shouldn't you self-reflect? So that was clip one of three clips in the Tower of Babel, and just showing how God takes the supposedly wise people and places them on these tall towers of shaking sand so we can see his wisdom stands above all. A little conversation on ABC featuring someone who makes a lot of appearances here, Nancy Pelosi.
If you believe he engaged in insurrection under the plain meaning of the 14th Amendment, you believe he's ineligible to be president.
Those laws, you know, those are up to the states. They have different laws from state to state. I don't think he should ever have been president.
It's the Constitution.
But nonetheless, there is a view of the Constitution in Article 14, Section 3, that he should not be able to run for president. But that's not the point. The point now is that, again, different states have different laws. We don't think in California that it applied in our state. That's what the decision was made here. But anyway, not to go into that because that's very intricate. What is very clear is that the American people want us to honor our oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States.
What's so funny about this? And the reason it's babbling is because Nancy Pelosi has the power as the top Democrat's fundraiser in Washington, D.C. to end any and all attempts to ban President Trump from the ballot. And she also says there's a lot of nuance here. You could say that except for this. The federal government that is suing Donald Trump that claim he led an insurrection on January 6th. Do you know what they've not charged him with? Leading an insurrection on January 6th. You know that? They haven't charged him that. That's available to them. They could make that a specific charge. Jack Smith won't. Why is that? It's also hilarious to hear Nancy Pelosi speak in reverence to the Constitution. The lady who passed Obamacare despite the fact that it started as a spending bill in the Senate, which was 100% unconstitutional. And back in the day, she was asked about this. Do you remember this? Reporter says, is it constitutional? And she laughed. And then she said, oh, wait, you're serious. Last clip in today's Tower of Babbling. Do you just, when you hear figurehead Biden, I know we respond because he's a guy that we're supposed to call president, and maybe he is. I just think he's illegitimate. I think it was stolen. I know the election was rigged. But do you ever put yourself in the mind of a foreign leader or someone who doesn't mean the United States well, like a Chinese Communist Party apparatchik?
We have fewer democracies in the world today than we did 15 years ago. Fewer. Not more. Fewer.
And that's a man who in his own country, where he gets to act as president, he's jailing political opponents, some of them simply for posting memes. Douglas Mackey going to prison. He's now appealing that sentence for posting a meme, pretending that you could vote via text for Hillary Clinton. There were many memes like that saying you could vote for Donald Trump. No one there is going to prison. And that man has the audacity to speak as if he is concerned about the ends of democracies. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Fond of wrapping up the show with just a personal observation. And this is personal observation about spending time outside America. When I was in Mexico, one of the things that I noticed, and I've shared this with you, was that there were no flags of Ukraine. Not on the resort, which makes sense. I mean, they probably police that pretty well. It's an Americanized resort in Puerto Vallarta. But not in the cities. Not in the cars. Not in the t-shirts. I didn't see a single one. But you know what I saw a lot of? I saw a lot of Mexican flags. Yeah, I know that there were the tourist trap Mexican restaurants where they want you to go have an authentic experience, want you to feel you're having one. But in the city, I saw a lot of pride about Mexico. And the reason that appealed to me was because it's a country that has its own problems, but somehow still folks love their country. It's run by cartels. The new Jalisco cartel is a group of farmers. And they have better drug policies than the separate countries of Washington and California. They got better drug policies than the Democrat Party. They have said there's not going to be any fentanyl. You're not to deal in it. It's too dangerous. And what they say is it's going to kill their customers. So you're not to have it. They've also placed down a diktat. You will not molest tourists. You won't kidnap them. You won't go take their monies. You won't threaten them. Tourists are hands off, or you face the cartel. And they will just come and, well, probably kill you. No, I don't want to live under a system that's run by a cartel. What I'm looking at is the ability that people have to carry on. We went to a place called the Hill of the Cross, my friend and I, and we went there, first of all, to go see this cross with this beautiful, beautiful scene of the water and the jungles. It's 360 degrees. In front of you, one side is the water, and the other side is the jungles in Puerto Vallarta. The other reason was it's a really high climb, a bunch of stairs, and Ben and I wanted to get some exercise in. So we did, you know, I think 6 rounds up and down the stairs. But that's in a very, very poor neighborhood. And I don't mean just kind of dilapidated houses. I mean dilapidated, falling apart. I was afraid that the people up there, one day, are going to face a landslide because they're not doing any responsible building. In fact, while we were there, there was water pouring down the stairs and what looked like a live wire in the water. We weren't going to go up until we saw a bunch of people come down and no one was dying. You know what was going on in those houses? And one of them looked to me like a birthday party. Little kids dancing. They actually had a piñata. I know that's cliched, but they did. There was glee on their faces. They had a donkey kids were riding. The yard was far too small for a donkey, but the kids got to ride the donkey. And the adults were relaxed. Yep, there were some drinks. There was even some cigarette smoking. Okay, it's a different country. People still do that there. But there was no one sad-faced, bemoaning. The cartels run our country. Folks, God gave us a great abilities to lean into him, to succeed by leaning into him. He has it all in his hands. Sometimes we forget that. That was on the Hill of the Cross. Oh, just one other thing I saw at the birthday party. Just that. Cross of Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we love each other. Until God says we can speak again together, may his peace rest upon you. I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.